This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain,
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the weekend review. It's your host, Tosin. I'm alongside with Coach and Dean. Fellas, how y'all doing? How's your weekend going?
This is what one of the last ones, potentially the last one of the season, man. It's been another crazy 9 months, but I'm feeling good. Happy to be here. Thank you guys again for listening. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and introduce this pod to one new person a week. That's my homework for you guys every single time I record this pod. Thank you.
Coach said a lot and threw a lot at you, nigga. So let's just keep talking.
The leagues are basically done, man. Effectively, you know, last week was the end of Ligue 1. It was Premier League and Bundesliga. In Spain, however, they're still going. They have the last game. By the time you guys hear this, Barcelona probably played already, and they're going to finish second. But Real Madrid and Betis was 0-0. And the most important thing about that game is that Toni Kroos got love, and we're going to show Toni Kroos love today. So I want y'all to take it away and talk to us about Toni Kroos.
Our resident German, Stan Hergon.
Deadass, I am the resident German here. But yeah, it's what can you say about arguably the best midfielder of our lifetimes? I mean, like, it's I don't think that's hyperbole by any means. I think it's interesting. A couple years ago, after Xavi and Iniesta and that group of guys left Barcelona, a lot of Real Madrid fans were online trolling Barcelona fans talking about, yeah, they were nice, but we got nicer. And honestly, neither one of those sides are wrong, but I would say there's a strong argument that the best of the bunch is arguably Toni Kroos. Like, this is a man that throughout his career at Real Madrid completed over 34,000 passes at over a 92% completion rate. That's ridiculous, man. Like, and for me, he's one of the better transfer successes of this era of Real Madrid. Like, he's almost, you can almost treat him as like the foundation of it, really, because he's been there throughout the whole thing. They got him very young for 25 million, which at the time felt like a steal. Is even more of a steal today. And man, I mean, he was always available. I don't remember him ever being injured. And just, he basically set the tempo for the team. If he wanted them to play fast, they played fast. If he wanted to play slow, they played slow. And he's still good enough to sign a contract for another 2 to 3 years, but the guy just has perfect timing, like his perfect passing. He's a metronome. He decided to leave while he was on top. And if he leaves with the Champions League on his way out, I mean, like, some people just have all the luck in the world. You know, he has lived a fairy tale life, basically, you know. And I would definitely miss watching him, even though I feel as if I didn't really watch him enough, because his game was so understated. His personality was so understated that we've watched him for over a decade, and there are not that many huge memories. You know, like, there's a goal against Sweden at the World Cup that they ended up getting eliminated from pretty quickly anyway. There are a bunch of really interesting assists. But for the most part, Toni Kroos has just always been there quietly being the best. And I'll definitely miss him.
Coach. And the most impressive part about it all is the fact he wore the same boots since he was 17. He's worn the same Adipures since forever. So
it's a common trend on loyalty. You know, like, when you find what works for you, stick to it, which is why I'm going to the same Vietnamese spot when we're done with this fucking podcast to get my same meal that I've been getting for the past 10 years.
Yeah, do you know what? I just had to have a quick look through his injury history at Real Madrid, right? And just off the top of my head, well, just off a rough estimation, I don't think he's missed up to 30 games, I want to say, through injury. Somewhere around that point. Somewhere around 30-ish, somewhere under 30 games is what he's missed through injury. And to do it at the level that he does it at, to do it in the team that he does it at, the demands, the mental and physical, the demands of it, I'm going to try my best to leave the technical stuff to the very end. But the mental and physical demands to do what he does at Real Madrid week in, week out, that alone sets him so far ahead of so many people, it's not even funny. We're talking about he's in the 1% of the 1%. So if we're talking technically now, I still think to this day, his left foot is probably just as good as his right foot. He just prefers his right foot. I've seen him switch play with his left foot 60, 70 yards before. It's not a thing for him at all. He's infamous trademark, you know, heavy first touch to evade pressure. Boy, I don't know, like, there's the old saying about playing football simple is hard kind of thing. I think Toni Kroos exemplifies it. There's nothing extravagant about what Toni Kroos does. He just does everything that you're supposed to as a footballer to the highest level possible. And I don't want to use a reference of a German car because he's German, but really and truly, he is very much like the very best of German engineering. You know, he's an Audi, he's a Mercedes, he's all of that. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing more, you know, he's the highest of the high. Go on.
Sorry, I just wanted to get in there. He's a Mercedes.
Okay, he's a Mercedes. Okay. There we go.
Don't confuse that with an Audi, okay?
I love both personally, but
he's an S class.
but for all, I think Toni Kroos, if we're talking about his equals in this era, it's probably his teammate Luka Modric. Luka. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
The wild thing is I can generally see Germany winning the Euros this year at home. That's the craziest thing.
Honestly speaking, Füllkrug in this form, he's very much seems like a tournament striker as well. You see what he's done for Dortmund. It could be the case.
I hate to break it to you. Füllkrug is not starting for Germany. Kai Havertz is starting for Germany.
Boy.
We'll see. But I'm pretty confident in that. But yeah, him leaving with a Champions League trophy and potentially the Euros. Shit, man, we might have to talk about him as the Ballon d'Or guy if it goes down like that. Yeah, he will be in the discussion.
I'm not mad at it. I'm genuinely not mad at it. I think we've hit the level now where it's like there's no Messi and Ronaldo anymore. Thank God Haaland didn't win one. Do you know what I mean? Go on.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be happy about the no Messi nor Ronaldo, but I'm like, you know, we got enough of those guys. So yeah, I'm good. Yeah. It's time for the new.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we've dealt with that for far too long. I want to ask you guys one question before you leave. Do you know how many trophies won at Real Madrid, Toni Kroos?
22.
21. It could be 22.
I was going to say 25. Fuck me. But bloody hell.
He goes low, to be honest. This motherfucker averaged over 2 trophies a year for 10 years. That's crazy.
Absurd. Absurd. Yeah. And he was on that team that won a 3-peat of Champions League. This is silly. Like some of the things that like Toni Kroos has done in his career. And the wildest thing is he's been a professional literally half his life. He's 34, right? He made his debut at 17. So literally half of his life he's been a professional football player and just great. Like from the jump, like from the start of Bayern to Leverkusen alone and back to Bayern and to Madrid, he's just special, you know? So.
And I want to make one point before we leave. Everything we've said about him so far is, you know, in relation to the era in which he's existed. But truthfully, when you look throughout Real Madrid's history, which is the most illustrious history of any club in the game, he's up there with anybody.
Yes.
Anybody you want to mention, Zidane, Di Stefano, Cristiano, whoever you want to mention, he's up there with them.
And this is the point I was making. He's the 1% of the 1%. Like the elites are the elites of the elites. And then you have the level above and Toni Kroos is just chilling there comfortably. Like that's the highest compliment I can pay him. That when you talk about the very best in the history of the game, Toni Kroos shouldn't be something you think, shouldn't be an afterthought. He should be one of the first players you think of now.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I wonder, I mean, none of us are German here, even though I pretend to be on TV, but I do wonder what his reputation is like in Germany in comparison to, say, someone like Beckenbauer that just passed away. You know, because I would say for me, you know, obviously we're different people for different times, but from the on-field performance and the achievements and accolades in the game, he's right there.
Yeah.
He's right there.
And speaking of legends, you remember what Cruyff said about him after Germany won the World Cup?
Go on.
He's like, he's doing everything right. The pace in his passes is great, and he sees everything is nearly perfect. It's just, you know,
The guy. That's a Dutchman. That's a Dutchman saying that about a German.
Let's talk about the Champions League final real quick. We do a little, just a quick preview. We got a German team versus a Spanish team who is operating with a German in the midfield. So, you know, it's a lot of geopolitics in that game. but you know, I generally don't see Dortmund beating Madrid. I just feel like, you know, it's football. It's 90 minutes. Crazy things have happened, but I just don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, for me, I guess this weekend's lineup for Real Madrid kind of looked like a preview of what they might do in the big game. So that's good, because last weekend they rotated heavily. This week it looked like the full strength team. So Cruz started. So, but we're not surprised by that. But if you look at the trend of the final so far, you know, like, so far, you know, like, we're going to talk about Atalanta in a little bit, but they were the underdogs in their final. They won it. United were the underdogs in their final against Manchester City. They won it.
I can't wait to talk about that.
So maybe, just maybe, that's the only logic that I have to say Dortmund might do something. Besides that, it's Real Madrid all the way.
I'll be honest with you. I see Real Madrid winning it, but I actually think it's going to be an end-to-end game. I see both teams scoring. I don't think Dortmund can sit back and try to defend, because I don't feel like that's even their game anyway. So I think they got to go for it. And I think Real Madrid, just being Real Madrid, are just going to be like, you know what, well, we've been here enough times kind of thing. We can also go for it as well. We believe in our ability. And I think it's going to be one of the games of the season for sure. That's how I see it going. But yeah, I still think Real Madrid, you know, will have too much for Dortmund for sure. But yeah, man.
Yeah. The better manager, the better history, the better everything, you know.
Do you guys have any like favorite moments of Toni Kroos before we move on? I feel like we've given him a lot of time, but like, you know, let's any final thoughts?
I don't think we can do too much, honestly. We should just do a whole Kroos podcast.
I'm not even against it.
Could we call it Kroos control?
Yeah. No, we're not doing that. But for me, I'm going to go with that free kick at the World Cup I mentioned. The one against Sweden, the last minute. I don't know if it was a winner or equalizer, but it was just such a moment, you know.
It was the goal of the tournament.
Excuse me?
It was the goal of the tournament.
Was it now? I didn't know that. But ultimately, I think that was just, the most obvious fuck it, I'll do it moment of his career. And I mean, really enjoyed it at the moment.
Dean, it was 94th minute, like 4 minutes and 41 seconds, 1-1, 5 minutes of extra time, and he just does that.
I'll be honest.
Let me give you a shout, Coach. The 7-2 against Brazil, was that 7-1, was it?
I feel like
he was the dominant character in that game.
Yeah. I mean, he scored two goals, didn't he? He scored one with his left foot as well. That's up there for me. I want to say, yeah, favorite Toni Kroos moment. There's been loads, man. Do you know what? I'm going to say something that's going to probably rub you the wrong way, but he scored a goal against us in 12-13, right? And he was probably the best player on the pitch as well. And to this day, like, he's one of the best players I've ever seen with my own eyes. Like, and I'm fortunate enough to have seen him like three or four times live, I want to say. And the most remarkable thing about it is the fact that each time he's played a different position to a high level. But that goal he scored, the first time shot to the near post top corner, and had a perfect angle of it. It's just Toni Kroos. It's perfect placement, perfect positioning, perfect power, all of those things. But that's another thing about Toni Kroos, the fact that he's played all three midfield positions to like an 8.5 level out of 10. Most of his career. I don't even know. He's a joke. He's just a joke. So, at Bayern, he was an attacking midfielder. So, yeah.
I don't think we'll ever be able to decide which position he was actually best at.
Just yes.
He was just
position midfielder.
My favorite Toni Kroos memory has nothing to do with on the field. It's more so off the field. It's the fact that he didn't go to United. And I'm so grateful that he didn't. It was great for his career.
He's even more grateful. Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that, because he always, off the field, I'm not going to get into all the examples. Google is there if you want it. But he always had a really good sense of humor, especially given that he's German and the reputations Germans have. he was just a funny dude. He had his own podcast years before we had a podcast, him and his brother. And he talked a lot of shit on that thing, mm-hmm. a lot of shit. And he was opinionated. I didn't always agree with the things he said, but he generally made me laugh. And he seemed like a very sensible guy. Mm. He also strikes me as the kind of guy that will not go into coaching.
No.
Like, he's just going to fuck off and we'll never hear about him again.
Yeah. You know what's one of the things that I love is players that know when it's time to quit, right? And it goes for anything in life. Like, just know when to bounce. Mm-hmm. Like, just know when it's time to leave. Like, Cantona did that shit. It was just like, I'm out. Cruz did it. Zidane did it. And some players just stay too long.
El Predator, we're looking at you, bro. We're looking at you.
Iniesta's bro, still playing.
I'm not having that, guys. I'm going to have to oppose this whole thread of logic. Like, listen, if you're lucky enough to do something you love in life, do it for as long as you fucking feel like doing it. Whether you suck at it or just keep fucking doing it, because life is short and you shouldn't waste your time doing shit you don't want to do. Like, for instance, raising your kids. Fuck them little niggas, man. Go play some football. Go do something you actually love. How did you get those kids? Because you were a good footballer. And because you were a good footballer, you got yourself a pretty ass woman that wanted to make kids with you. So your loyalty is to football, not to these little ass nigglets and shit. So Tony, if you want to come back tomorrow, I will welcome you. Just like every Real Madrid fan.
Good job, Deadbeat.
I want you, Larry.
Let's move over to the Pokal final. Leverkusen beat Klosterstein 1-0. Granit Xhaka's, listen, I saw that goal live, right? I saw him cut to his left foot and I saw him bang it. I was just like, you know what, man? Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. And that was the only highlight I can think about from that game. Granit Xhaka scored a banger. They got a red card and yeah, that was it. And Kusunu got a red card in AFCON too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what his problem is. Like, what is his malfunction?
Hey, he won both, so you know, maybe that's just you there. You know, if I leave the field, things will go well for my team.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I think it's because they didn't do the treble. People are kind of gonna quick to forget what Leverkusen done this season because it was like the expectation was they were going to do the treble. And obviously, I know we're gonna get to Europa League final, but this is a club that's never won a league title before, and in their first attempt, they've done it unbeaten and done a double with it as well. You know, not even 115 FC managed to do that in their first ever Premier League winning title. Do you know what I mean? So this is something that I feel as if deserves its own. It's, you know, people need to really look at this and appreciate it for what it is. You know, don't just move on quickly and be like, oh yeah, you know, they've won a league. Oh, they've only ever won one league title. No, look at what they've done and how they've done it. You know, Alonso is quite clear generational. He kind of shit the bed in the final, but we don't have to talk about that unless you guys want to. But
oh, we totally should.
But, that's
more.
But for real, like, they're a team that nobody expected to. I didn't expect them to win the Bundesliga this year, to do it in the fashion that they did. To do a double, like, you know, they went down to 10 men as well. Like, when you talk about teams of destiny, Bayer Leverkusen clearly are the team of destiny this season, regardless of what Real Madrid do. To me, Bayern Munich are the team in Europe this year for sure, man. Like, shout out
to them. They're the team of the season.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there's an award, you know, that's not based on accolades, just who captured our attention, who entertained us the most, who had the most late comebacks, you know, like, it was definitely them.
Yeah, I mean, Triple H had to give them a WWE belt because they did so well.
That is one of the greatest marketing tools in the history of marketing. Like, who doesn't want a WWE belt? Like, we'll take it. Like, fuck it. Like, what does Triple H have to do with Leverkusen?
They got a WWE thing in Berlin in Leverkusen later on this year.
No, it's not in Leverkusen, nigga. Don't misinform the people. It's in Berlin or some shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, German Bashen, something like that?
Bashing Berlin.
Yeah, see, there you go. But
Bashing Berlin, know, yeah.
Triple H just snuck it in. They're like, hey, you guys are German. We're going to Germany. Here you go. You know, like, and now they're at the parade right now. I think the parade is going on as we record this, and you know, niggas are doing this shit with the belt, you know. So it all worked out. Like, in the end, no matter what happens, Vince McMahon wins. Ugh. Xabi Alonso won the double, but Vince McMahon won the treble.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, well, that nigga's going to hell.
Can we talk a little bit more about the actual Europa League final? Because we're a couple days removed. Ademola Lookman made us very proud as Nigerians, scoring a hat-trick in that game. But coach, your boy Xabi Alonso, man, galaxy brain shit. He pulled a Pep. Tell us more about that.
He's Spanish. Next. I don't know what else to say. I mean, they all have that tendency. I could point to a point in this season for every single one of those coaches just this season alone, let alone what Arteta's done last season, the season before, and Pep's done for his entire career kind of thing. But they all do it. They just have this itch. It's a green goblin mask. They just have it where it's like, let me see how I can win this game without doing the shit that's been winning me 99% of my games before. Let me just try it in the most important part of the season, just because they can't help it. So when I saw Frimpong playing even higher than he does usually, I was like, okay, yeah, it's a wrap. And I did say, I think on 4 to 5 pods ago, that I think Atalanta would win anyway, but not nothing to do with Alonso Brigbane and shit, just because I felt it was a bad matchup for Leverkusen. But it became even worse for them when you're... We've all seen that Atalanta centre-backs and their defensive midfielders, and they want Frimpong to be running through that minefield. Like, really, guys. Like, you're actually taking a piss. So I wasn't shocked at all. But the main thing I think that excites me most about Atalanta in general is their attack. I've said for a long time now, I think they've got one of the funnest attacks in Europe. The balance of it is great. The options that they can have off the bench. You know, some games, Lookman hasn't even started. You know, I think, to my recollection, about 3 to 4 different regular rotations of that front line. You know, Scamacca's obviously the main guy, but then they got the Belgian fellas there. Like, it's such a well-balanced attack, and they all move really, really well. But I tell you what, if you want to hear more on this, Tosin did a whole great TikTok on it, which should be playing round about now.
Yes. And here's the thing to add to your point. Guess what's happening with Atalanta right now? They are beating Torino 2-0, and Scamacca scored and Lookman scored. So, you know.
There you go.
That's there. That's them. You know, so shout out to them. Gasperini has been great, you know. So that's another thing too. Gasperini loves it. He deserves his flowers. So let's go over to Spain. I mean, not Spain. Let's go to French. Let's go to France. France is it's a weird place right now. PSG and Lyon, it's 2-1 in the final. Dembele and Fabian Ruiz scored, and Mbappe bowed himself out. He's gone. So how many goals did he score again for them? 175 goals and 205 appearances. Mm-hmm. And he would never play with Toni Kroos. So there's that. Unfortunate for him. So,
well, you're assuming he's going to go to Real Madrid. I still think he's coming to Arsenal.
It
was Arsenal fans that thought we could win the league on the last day, so allow me to stay delusional too. I bet.
You mean, ooh, Mitch?
Kudu scored a goal. You know, yeah, Mitch. Yeah, coach. Kudu scored a goal, I believed. Like, I'm kidding. I believe too, but, you know, I'm cool.
But yeah, I mean, listen, PSG, is there really anything to talk about with them and beating Lyon? It's like academic at this point, right?
It's all very underwhelming. I just like that Luis Enrique was very nice about Vitinha. I think that was cool, because that's been the most impressive PSG player to me the entire season. Like, he's just a joy to watch, and I hope he can escape that prison sooner rather than later. I don't want him in France. He needs to come to a league where I can watch him every week. You know, a league called Arsenal.
Okay. You're not feeling the McDonald's / Uber Eats?
Nah, bro. Nah. We you know, we grown men now. We eat whole foods. You know, we don't eat highly processed, high fructose corn syrup shit like Ligue 1. We want that Premier League. Actually, Premier League is trash too, man. Let's just move on.
In Italy, there's not really much to take away except Milan said goodbye to Pioli and Giroud, who scored in his final game. But this game kind of mirrored everything that happened with Pioli, man. Great start to the game, and then guess what happens towards the end? Womp, womp, womp.
Some bullshit. So,
yeah.
Hey, man, but the bullshit was Nigerian, though. Simeon Wanko, a tall, bald dude. Come to find out that Fikayo Tomori can't mark Nigerians. That's crazy. No wonder Southgate treats him the way he treats him.
You know what's wild about Fikayo, right? this guy's never going to play international football. He's stuck.
Has he cap-tied himself then with England?
Yeah, he has.
That's tough. That's tough. Sucks for you, nigga. Oh well.
Yeah. Surely there's a way through because think of it. Okay, you know that's a lie because
ain't no way, nigga.
No, he got his five. I'm old enough to remember when England tried to get Arteta, they tried to get Edu, but I don't think them guys were capped for the countries.
He played in the UEFA Nations League game against Italy.
Yeah, it's never happened.
And that right there stopped him. And I don't think he's got an England cap. He hasn't got an England call since 2023. So that sucks.
It could. You know what? Let's not shut the door on it completely. But I think if he actually wants to play for England, he has to come back to the Premier League. Because Gareth Southgate, well, unless Gareth Southgate leaves, but Gareth Southgate literally doesn't watch any other league. I don't tell me how I know that. I know he doesn't. I don't think he's even smart enough to do that.
I think, Coach, we're forgetting the most important part of this. Like, we started this thread by mentioning the fact that Simeone Nwankwo just shat all over him in Milan's final game of the season at the San Siro. Maybe he's just not that good. And Southgate isn't wrong for once.
Well, put it like this. I wouldn't say Tomori is a good centre back. And, you know, I'm not saying he should be a nailed on starter for England, but the fact that he's not even down for consideration, you know, and this is probably going to go to a wider point, but the fact that someone like Jack Grealish made the squad, I mean, there's a lot wrong here, man. Because look, all due respect to Jack Grealish, amazing ability, but he's been dog piss for a very long time. He doesn't
coach. I want you to hold on to that thought, okay? Let's finish our Serie A. You hold on your Jack Grealish. I got a perfect time for you to talk about that. Udinese, Frosinone, and Empoli all have a chance to survive. The other two teams, you know, whatever, you know, just it's a mess. Italy's relegation. So, Godspeed. Hopefully, some of you guys don't get relegated. I think there's two teams already that's already gone down. Mm-hmm. Sassuolo and Salernitana. So currently, Empoli is going down currently. So.
Yeah.
Listen, man, the relegation is tough. It's one of those things that, God forbid, that neither one of our teams ever experienced.
Hopefully, Tottenham and Chelsea. Please, God, in my last...
I said our teams. What made you bring those two?
Listen, man, this thing you and Erik ten Hag have been doing all year where you, like, tie Arsenal and United together, I don't like it. I don't like you. You're only my friend because we're both Yoruba, okay? Stop trying to pretend that we have something in common. We don't. I don't like you devil-ass niggas, okay? I'm a good Christian. I don't root for a team based in Satan, all right? We don't hire Dutch coaches at Arsenal, okay?
Speaking of England, the championship playoff final, Leeds and Southampton, and guess what? Southampton's come back to the Premier League. Joe Rebo cut his hair off, so good
boo,
for him.
Boo, nigga, boo. I hated both teams, but I really don't want that St. Mary's shit. Like, Gabby on the Arsenal pod was right. St. Mary's is not a fun place to go for Arsenal. But we will get our 6 points next season, inshallah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good players on that Leeds team, though, man. I wonder where some of it was gonna go.
Yeah, man. That looks like a Brighton signing.
Which one?
Somerville.
Yeah. I've heard good things about him all year. I didn't actually watch the championship because there's only so much time in the day. But the guy that most, I wouldn't say he impressed me in the actual game because I watched the game. It wasn't a great game, I don't think. But no. I really like that Archie Gray kid. I don't know why they have him at right back. That is clearly a number eight. I don't know what they're doing with that. But
yeah, here's the thing. Like, you're absolutely spot on. And what made it obvious to me was the fact that he got the ball quite often actually today in space wide. And his first instinct wasn't to go on the outside, but to come straight in field every time. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is a midfielder, for sure.
Yeah. Why not just put him where he belongs? I don't understand this shit, man. You know, but whatever.
Yeah, he's third generation Leeds.
Wait. Don't say. Is his granddad the fella that managed them in 03, 04? The legend? I've forgotten his name. Something Great. His last name is Great, but...
Frank.
Wow. Wow, Coach, wait. You're a genius.
I'm talking about his first name, though, right? Is it Frank Gray?
Yeah.
Frank Gray.
No. His grandfather's name is Frank Black. Then his father's name is Bobby White. And now he is Archie Gray. She'll get in Cotton Moore Champagne, eh?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Oh, yeah. Because I'll never forget his interview one time where he was like, how do you stop Thierry Henry? It's like, you just have to punch him in the face. definitely him. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but Dean, that was the most dad joke giver told ever. Doesn't want to let you know that.
I mean, you know, what can I do? It was a joke about dads. I feel like we should we give Southampton any credit for making it back to the Prem, or do we care? I think it's gonna. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. I'm just not. I've seen too many of those players. There's no one new there really. They went down a season ago. They're right back up. Which kind of feels like it's going to be the way moving forward. So who's coming up, Tosin? It's Southampton?
Ipswich and Leicester.
So do we think they're all going back down again?
Everyone except for Leicester, yeah.
Why is Leicester staying up?
Heritage, isn't it?
Nah, I'll be honest with you. I think they're all going down again, man.
I think they're all going down, man.
Premier League is brutal, man.
I mean, who's going to go down instead? Like Wolves or some shit? I'm not seeing that.
No, it was Eddie Gray that I was thinking of. Not Frank, it was Eddie Gray. I knew his last name was Gray.
Tough titty. Well, there was another game at Wembley that happened yesterday. There's a podcast going to be out about it, United beating Man City. But I want the Arsenal guys' opinions on it. Like, what did you guys take away from that game?
Do you want to go first or do you want to go?
Oh, no, I have no interest in these assholes.
first of all, shout out to United for actually playing the game, not the occasion, and actually playing Man City like, you know, they don't start Kovacic in midfield, you know, like, shout out to them for actually looking at, oh, wow, there are some weaknesses here, so well done to them for that. But secondly, I think anyone that's taken this game as a, oh, you know, maybe we should keep Ten Hag on kind of thing, well done to you. I'm not mad at it. I personally don't particularly care. But doesn't it frustrate you that he's shown that he can do this, right? And then he saves it for like potentially his last game. Because one of the main criticisms I've had from those of you that have listened to United Pod, especially the solo ones I've done on my own, is that why does he keep setting up his teams in this way, week in, week out? And you can't tell me about injuries, because United still had injuries yesterday, believe it or not. They still did have injuries yesterday. So why is it that did he consistently set up his team in such a way that left them so exposed for most of the season, but then for like some really big games, for example, I don't know, Liverpool at home, even though there was lots of chances for Liverpool, or Arsenal at home, or for, you know, City in the FA Cup final, you found a way to coach all of a sudden. Like, doesn't that piss you off? Go on.
Well, I hate to defend that bald prick because he clearly has something about Arsenal that he doesn't like, which I also appreciate because, you know, again, it's a rivalry, so treat it that way. I love that. But I'm not saying he should have left this team open the whole season, but there is something to be said about the fact that it's still Manchester United. You can't go into every goddamn game because you have injuries and play on the back foot against smaller teams, if that makes any sense. Like, you can't go to Newport County and play a 4-2-3-1 with your line all the way back like it was yesterday, because United played on the break yesterday, and there's nothing wrong with that, especially in a game against a team like Manchester City. But I'm not really sure that you can survive. I feel like it would have gotten fired much sooner, because even when you play like that, given the way United has played most of this season, there's no guarantee that we're going to win those games or even play well in those games, you know, given the injuries they had. I think a lot of yesterday was just based on the fact that they were able to start Varane and what's his name? Butcher. Lissandro. And they haven't had those two available for big chunks of the season. So, yesterday was a fantastic coaching performance. That said, if Ineos and Jim Ratcliffe are basing their decision as to whether to hire or fire this guy on one game, then United is in bigger trouble than we think. Because surely they have to have looked at the entire season to decide if this man is worth, you know, investing in, because the next step is to invest in the coach that you have there. Yeah. So are you going to spend more money on this guy that they already spent Anthony money on? I don't know if that's a good idea.
What did Mike Wilbon say? My nigga, I'm glad you said this, because there's a lot of United fans I see on my timeline yesterday and even today talking about, tomorrow we should give him another chance. Look here, you guys are being emotional because we won a trophy. Ain't no emotions in business. It's a cutthroat thing, okay? Throughout that season, we were shit. We finished eighth, and we had negative goal difference, okay? That alone.
They had negative goal difference, people. Manchester United, they had negative goal difference. That's crazy.
No, listen.
That's crazy.
They're an overdraft, guys. They owe the league goals. Going into next season, they owe the league. Like, that is...
Bro.
Yeah, he's got to go.
We finished eighth in negative goal difference, right? This man decided to start playing Ahmad towards the end of the season and realize, oh shit, he's a good player. You had him since January, you dumbo. Yeah. And this other shit where I'm just like, yo, what? Why are you guys being so emotional because we won a trophy? I don't care. Like,
isn't that the point of all this though?
Trophies? No, the point is to stop being a dumbass.
So are we having an admission that top four is better than the cups? I'm just asking.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying,
can you answer that question as a United fan? Like, is top four important or not?
Yes, top four is important, and winning trophies is important. Okay. But it's also the way that you do it. It's also the way that you do it. Is the methodology you do it, right? Like, what did Gasperini say the other day? He said, my whole thing is that I'm not any better now than I was this afternoon after winning the trophy. Gasperini's been doing this playing football shit for 8 years, and it's been great, but they just finally, everyone's like, oh, look at Atalanta. Like, no, they've been doing this. So for me, it's like, yeah, we beat Man City, congratulations, that's great, but you know, that's not gonna save you because you were shit the whole entire season. So
speaking of shit, can we talk about Man City yesterday a little bit more?
Man, the only player that played well for them was Doku. That's it.
Yeah.
And he came off the bench.
Yeah, coach, this is where you come in. Talk to us about Jack Grealish, because I know you're going off. This is exactly what I want to hear.
Oh. Listen, there's a few white boys I want to go off on, to be honest. So how long have you guys got? Because I've got time to do.
We got 400 years, nigga.
Let's fucking go then. So here's the first thing, right? Jack Grealish stinks. That's let's get out of here. He stinks, right? He carries no goal for it. He hasn't got a final ball, right? Mm. The only purpose he serves for Pep Guardiola, right, is when they pin teams, he's able to keep the ball. He's very good at keeping the ball in the final third. However, I have, to my mind, three fullbacks at Arsenal alone that can do exactly what Jack Grealish does from wide positions.
Fullbacks,
guys. None of these guys cost anywhere near 100 million. The most expensive guy there cost 50 million. And guess what? He plays four positions. So, do you know what I mean? Jack Grealish has got away with it for so long that I'm not even entertaining the fact that he's got bags of ability. I don't care about his ability anymore. I really don't care. He's happy. But go on.
He's almost 30.
Yeah, go on.
Like, I suppose I don't want to stop us from shitting on Jack Grealish, but he doesn't even play enough to be worth talking about this much, to be honest with you. He doesn't even fucking play.
Pep don't even like this nigga. I'm getting to that point. So Guardiola and City in general have gotten away with murder, the fact that they've got £100 million paperweight just sitting there. Like, that's the bigger issue here. The fact that they can buy someone like him, not necessarily need him, although I'll give him credit. Last year in the Champions League, he was actually pretty good, and he's a big part of the reason why they went, you know, they were able to maintain that run. He stayed fit as well, which is cool. But Jack Grealish serves no purpose for this city team. And I struggle to figure out where he would actually make an impact for a Liverpool or for Arsenal, even, for example. Do you know what I mean? Like, he would literally have to step down, I think, for him to actually be a worthwhile investment for a team, because he's not playing for Arsenal, he's not playing for Liverpool. I'm sorry. Go on.
It's interesting because during the championship playoff final, they were showing Matt Letizia next to Adam Lallana in the stands. And I was thinking to myself, Jack Grealish should have just been the modern Matt Letizia. He should have stayed at Aston Villa his whole fucking career. And just, you know, he wouldn't have won shit. Cool, whatever. But that's the kind of player he was destined to be. You know, like, not everybody is supposed to go play for Pep. Not everybody is supposed to try to develop as a player. There was nothing to develop there. Pep broke the guy. Pep, this is on Pep for me personally. Like, this is on Pep, because why would you look at a player that exciting, that effervescent, that talented, and decide, oh, I want him to... To be fair, I'm pretty sure Pep didn't think, I'm just going to use him as a running back, because that's what he is. Hold the ball. He's basically Anthony with the ability to win fouls more at this stage of his career, which is a damn shame. He's a Gucci mascot. That's all he is. Like, it's a shame. But we're shitting on him when... a guy started in that game, and that guy is supposedly the Premier League player of the year over a bunch of his teammates who were going to shit on a little bit. I'm eager.
Let's get to him last.
All right, fine.
So the next one I'm going to bring to the stage, right, is a fella that has been put into conversations with the modern greats, like someone we spoke about, like Tony Cruz, right? The 1% of the 1%, right? And to my mind, guys, and this is a poll for you guys on the pod first, but for people listening as well, can you tell me, I'm going to list like 3, maybe 4 players, just random players, you know, no bias here, but I'm just going to say someone like Zinedine Zidane, Andres Iniesta, Tony Cruz, if you will, and I even throw some razzle-dazzle in here, Patrick Vieira, right? In my mind, I can think of 2 to 3 games each where these have been high-stakes games in finals or latter stages of competitions where they have completely bailed their team. Maybe I've thrown Steven Gerrard as well. So there's even a bigger sample size, right? Can you...
Throwing Roy Keane too.
Roy Keane as well. Fuck it. We'll throw everybody in, right? These are the GOATs, right? The GOATs of the GOATs, right? Can you remember them ever ducking a final, like, for their team? Like, even if their team lost, right, like Vieira did in 2001 against Liverpool, right? Vieira literally looked like the best player in the world in that final, right? I cannot remember a time where Kevin De Bruyne has even finished a final, guys. Has he finished a final? I don't remember finishing a final.
Bro.
I don't think so. Oh. I do know that Roy Keane went one man against a steroided Juventus team and took his team to a final.
There we go.
On a yellow card.
There we go. And
so that's what I remember.
And these are the margins we're talking about now. Go on.
Yeah, it just it's disappointing because the talent is clearly there. We're not saying Kevin De Bruyne isn't a talented player, but these things matter. When you're judging at the margins of who's the best, who are the top 1%, who are we calling legends? Like, cause we just throw words around these days because you know the internet has ruined everything. Everyone has an opinion now. Like Kevin De Bruyne is not of the level. I'm sorry. I don't care how many fucking assists he spams during a Premier League season. If you don't show up in finals, you're not on the same level as these people that Coach mentioned and many other people that he didn't mention that have shown up in finals. Okay? As a matter of fact, Kevin, I want to be very clear about something. Kevin, you're a disgrace to the redhead community. Okay? You're supposed to be the best of them and you're letting them down badly. Now they have to rely on somebody like Paul Scholes, a man who sucks his daughter's toes in public. Like, come on, man. Get your shit together. Let's talk some more shit. Rodri. Yeah.
Shout out to Nicole, we're talking mentality.
Yeah. Bruno Fernandes had the freedom of the Wembley pitch to do a no-look pass in the FA Cup final to assist Kobe Mainoo for the winning goal in that game. Where was your mentality then, nigga? Huh? Mm-hmm. Where the fuck was you?
Tucked into his shirt.
I know where it was. He didn't re-up on the drugs. That's my because reading through, you don't play that many games in a row if you're not doing something a bit special. I'm just saying here, you know. Go on.
Like my nigga, I was watching him in that final, and Nas's Destroy and Rebuild was playing in my head. Like that rant at the end of the song, like real niggas is busting. Nigga, where you at, nigga? Where you at? Like he wasn't anywhere to be seen, my nigga.
Yo,
Jeremy Duck, who had to save these niggas, man. A nigga with dreads that started in the middle of his head.
Do you know who else was bad?
Go on.
Bernardo Silva.
They all sucked, man. They all
Bernardo Silva's bald spot was growing as the game was going.
Another evidence of, you know, a little bit extra some of these players might be getting, you know. We've seen Salah, you know, he's trying to duck the allegations. He's cut his hair quickly, but we see it, big man. We see it.
Can I give you guys a stat quickly?
Actually, no, I refuse. I don't want the stat. I don't want it. You keep asking for permission.
If I told you a striker, when the first 45 minutes of a final had 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 shots on target, 0 shots off target, 0 dribbles, 0 key passes, 0 crosses, 0 long balls, and 12 touches, and the defender he was going up against was 5'8" and he's 6'4", what do you guys think?
Holland.
Honestly, I thought you were going to give. I thought those were like stats from like. From like a game Pele played in this year, even though he's been dead for many years, because him and Haaland had the same production in this game. Yeah. And this is Haaland in every final. I think he's played 5 finals since he got to City. He hasn't scored a single goal.
I don't think he's even played.
Can't say that about Mbappe.
But there's one more person. Sorry, guys. There's one more person I need to bring up because I was told.
Is he white? Is he white?
Of course.
Okay, just making sure.
I was told that he played yesterday, and I've watched back some of the game because obviously that's what I do sometimes, and I've struggled to find him, guys. Apparently, Philip Foden played yesterday, and for the life of me, I did not see. I don't know where he is. Can somebody please send me another highlight package or whatever? Because I cannot find him, and it's.
Like, he said Foden open up. He said Foden up his opened up his mouth. Give him another trophy,
bro. For real, like this is what it's got to now. The fact that look, he's got the football player of the year, the world, the writers player of the year, whatever, cool, whatever. But really and truly, I mean, would City's fortunes have changed this season without him? Absolutely not.
No. And this has always been the point I've made about him. Remember when we used to have the debate about him and Saka?
Yeah.
Before you came to the light and found your Yoruba heritage, like the person you're supposed to be.
No.
I'm so glad you're no longer fallen. Okay, like
we're not gonna heritage. We're not gonna erase history.
I was there too. That's all I'll say.
I've always spoken about Foden's ability. Here's the point.
I don't think he deserves the plaudits he gets because, like, I don't know, at least Rooney fucking produced back in the day, but. One, he's getting that whole like white savior shit that they do sometimes with a player that's like, oh, he's very talented and he looks like us, so we're going to treat him a certain way. But the main thing is that he plays in a team where he doesn't really have a tangible impact on their success or failure. Mm-hmm. Whether he's there or not, it doesn't fucking matter. City will win shit. They will. Like, I don't understand how you can give him player of the year when Rodri is right there. Rodri is the one with the stat where he didn't lose a game for 74 games, but you're giving player of the year to Foden.
And that's still until Kobe. That's until Kobe Mino untucked his shirt.
There we go.
But yeah, that's always been the issue. I just feel as if he gets held to a very, very low standard.
Yeah.
And compared to players that have a much bigger burden at other clubs, you know, he's just not it. Like if Kevin De Bruyne is fit, he does what Foden is doing. If Foden isn't fit for whatever reason and Kevin De Bruyne isn't available, I imagine that Pep tries Grealish in the middle of the pitch. And the results might not be as bad as we think they might be, to be honest with you.
To be honest, Bernardo Silva, when he turns up, you know, for the 3 months of the season kind of thing, he bails City out kind of thing. He actually does. But I don't know if there was if how accurate this stat is, but I remember there was a period where Aguero was scoring a lot of goals, but City were like 2-3 goals up already kind of thing. And he was just getting loads of goals in that period kind of thing. And I'm pretty sure Foden has got quite a few of those goals this season where they were inconsequential. Like, City were already winning those games. And I get he scored a bunch of goals. It's great. It's cool. It's whatever. It helps with the goal difference, especially in a season this tight. But City were going to win those games regardless. That's just the bottom line. And when you're not that pivotal to your team's success kind of thing, how can you be a team player? Because, and I'm not saying this for bias, but look at what Arsenal did this season, right? I couldn't imagine Arsenal doing this without Declan Rice. Like, that's the gap that we closed by signing Declan Rice. And that's the gap that City wanted to extend over us by signing Declan Rice. You know what I mean?
Compare this Player of the Year campaign to, say, Gareth Bale when he won it.
Oh, listen. Gareth Bale is the Player of the Year poster boy. That is what Player of the Year looks like, right? And I know I'm not disrespecting any other people that have won it before, but I'm just letting you know that he played in a team that we play for Spurs. You know what I mean? When have Spurs ever been good? And he was a deciding factor in all 30 plus games that he played. If he played well, Tottenham more likely than not would score or win. If he didn't, they were fucked, right? Cannot say the same for Phil Foden. I'm sorry. So,
yeah. I mean, for me as a United fan, this was a successful hate watching weekend. We won a trophy against Man City. Leeds lost. We knocked Chelsea out to Conference League. Newcastle completely out of Europe. And this was just a successful, wonderful hate watching weekend. And on top of that, my man just getting fired too. So it was just great. I'm having a great time.
Amen. That shit is not confirmed, man. You're talking a lot of shit. You might have to root for that ball nigga a little longer. I'm just saying.
Hey, see. Guess what? I don't have to.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. This is, once again, Tosin, Coach, and Dean. It's a weekend review. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter as well. You guys, we are out. There's going to be a lot more content coming. Everyone take it easy. And also, shout out to Believe Network once again. We're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace. My plans are sure.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.